Blog Talk Radio.
What is up? It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com with Anthony Riceballs Donahue, Tommy D with you. I'm going to take you up until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night here on SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. How's everybody doing tonight? Obviously, everybody knows the number to call up is 646-478-5554. We'll take calls a little bit later in the show. We're awaiting New York Knicks starting point guard Chris Stuon. He'll join us in a few momentarily to talk some off-season hoops, talk about his first season as a Knick, and we'll get into that a little bit later. And right now, Tommy D, what's going on, man?
Tony, what's up, man? Just happy to be with you. Back-to-back nights, man. You know, it's baseball season, as they say. You know, we were just talking about it before we went on the air. It's also our, you know, kind of a spring training for summer training, I guess you put it at this point, for us. I like the back-to-back nights, bro. I feel good. Ready for the next hour, for sure.
Oh, no question. It's going to be a great hour. Like I said, we're waiting on New York Knicks starting point guard Chris Stuon. But, obviously, Knicks had some workouts today with guys up there. Tom, were you up there today?
I was not up there today. I was not. But over the last couple weeks, obviously, seeing Johnny Flynn and Ty Lawson and, you know, being up there yesterday, some guys in the media room were kind of talking about it. It is what it is. You know, you obviously like to get in there and see the workouts and really get a good feel and opinion. And I know the fans desperately want to see that, but you can totally understand where the management's coming from. And, you know, you get in and get a chance to get a feel for the players. You'd definitely like to see it on the court, but you can definitely judge, you know, their character and judge, you know, what they are like off the court by talking to them, I feel. So, it is productive, and there's definitely a, you know, when you're talking about a guy like Jordan Hill, I would have liked to have been up there. Some things kind of got in the way, but the big buzz behind Hill, obviously. With the
no, yeah, apparently he had a great workout. I know Jordan Hill was talking about, you know, how he would how it's funny, Frank Isola said today in his blog or yesterday's blog that, you know, I think Jordan Hill was only the 20,000th player in the last 10 years to say he'd want to play for the Knicks after one of their workouts. And I bet I don't really follow the workouts of other teams that much over the years, but I'm sure if you're a player and you go to, like, for example, the Bobcats workout, I'm sure after you work out for that team, I'm sure all the players probably say the same things about them too. Oh yeah, I'd love to play there. It'd probably be a great fit. So, I mean, Jordan Hill talked about being another, you know, Amari Stoudemire and Mike D'Antoni's offense. I mean, we'll see. That's just talk right now. I mean, apparently, you know, hopefully, if, you know, the Knicks were to get a guy like a Jordan Hill, he's better than the forward they drafted from Arizona 4 years ago, and that's no disrespect to Channing Frye.
No question, and anybody who follows the blog knows that I'm a big fan of Jordan Hill. And I think guys like Hill and guys like Chase Budner have really, you know, kind of fallen off everybody's radar based on the fact that they were disappointments in college, but that doesn't necessarily always translate. Certainly we like to talk about the NCAA tournament and guys who have stepped up. Ty Lawson is certainly somebody who comes to mind whose march was certainly something that was impressive to watch. But I love Jordan Hill. I think he's primed for the NBA game. We've talked a ton of times about how we think it's going to be a point guard. I still believe, and I've talked about this all day with anybody who wants to listen to me on the phone or yapping around, I really do believe Ricky Rubio is working his way towards New York, and I wouldn't be surprised in the least to see him, maybe not on draft night, but maybe a later trade, end up with the Knicks. I really feel like that could definitely happen.
Do you think Rubio is sort of pulling an Eli Manning, what he did to the San Diego Chargers back in 2004, kind of, but maybe not saying it so publicly, but saying that he doesn't want to play for another team, but like Eli did only want to play for the Giants. Maybe Ricky Rubio only wants to play for the Knicks, but maybe not being as public about it, maybe behind closed doors. That's what his agent is telling guys.
No question. And when you look at, you know, there was a situation with when the Bucks drafted Yee a couple years ago, and everybody's going to say, well, you know, the Yee trade to the Nets was one thing or another. It was based on the fact that the Bucks general manager was fired for drafting him, and that Rubio's agent, who's Rubio's agent now, is also Yee's agent, and that's, you know, one of those situations where he definitely wants him in a bigger market. He's a European player. I can see it being a Manning thing. We talked last night about a David Wright or a Jeter situation in Major League Baseball. NFL is certainly another instance. John Elway is another example of that. We've mentioned that countless times on the blog. To me, if you honestly, I really feel like Rubio to the Knicks is something that could definitely happen. I wouldn't be upset with Jordan Hill. I wouldn't be upset with Jrue Holiday, obviously. I wouldn't be upset with Curry. I wouldn't be upset with a lot of guys, to be honest with you, but I think they've got their sights set on Rubio, and they're just trying to figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah, no question. I think the Knicks would love to have a guy like Ricky Rubio, like I said last night. I think with the Spanish population in New York City, that'd be a great thing. Obviously, when Donnie Walsh and Mike D'Antoni meet to draft a player or trade for a player, they don't say, hey, well, there's Spanish people in New York City, let's bring this guy here. But I think, you know, that something that would factor into the area of New York City. Another big story today floating around the blogs and the articles and the newspapers was, you know, Tracy McGrady possibly being available, and we'll obviously get more back into the draft throughout the show. I'm just throwing out some other things on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, Rice Balls Indeed with you. Going to take you up until 10 o'clock. And another thing, like I was just talking about, possibly, you know, the Knicks may be going after Tracy McGrady, the Knicks may be going after Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not sure I would touch McGrady, although I think he's a great player. He's injury-prone. They say he wouldn't be ready till, you know, maybe possibly January. But and then again, that wouldn't be a bad thing if the Knicks were to land a guy like McGrady, because he always seems to be done by February. So maybe you get him in January, and he'll be an all-star MVP-caliber player come the second round of the playoffs. But for 1 year, you know, if you give up nothing to get Tracy McGrady, yeah, I guess it's a shot you got to take. I mean, but although I'm not a huge fan of McGrady, for 1 year, if you can bring him here, I don't have any problem with it. But, you know, we'll see what happens throughout the summer. It's going to be a long, very active summer for the Knicks and Donnie Walsh.
No question about it. Something we've been talking about for a long time. And, you know, the thing with McGrady is that he does have a big contract, but it is done this year.
It's only 1 year, so it's not going to kill you by any means.
And what do they have to give up? They don't have, you know, is Houston going to take Eddie Curry back to make it work? I can't see that.
No, I don't think there's any way in hell that they take Eddie Curry back. Or if they, you know, to make it even, taking a guy like a Mobley's contract, you know, Larry Hughes' contract, something like that. You know, maybe McGrady has a phenomenal year. And maybe if LeBron still comes here, then maybe you sign McGrady to a couple-year contract as a sidekick. That's just, I'm just having fun right now throwing that out there for the fans at 646-478-5554. And let's go to the phones. And if you weren't listening last night, because this is internet radio, when I say the first three letters of your area code, for example, if it is a 607 area code, I will say area code 607, you're on the air. State your name. You'll state your name. We'll get to talking. There might be a few times where there's two of the same area codes on the line at the same time. If that's the case and there's two, for example, 607s, well, you both say hello, and then you obviously, within a matter of a second, you'll figure out who's on the air. So let's start it off tonight, Tommy, with area code 917. You're on the air with Rice Balls Indeed at KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. Hello. Hello, you're on the air. I hear a TV in the background. You got 5 seconds. Anybody there?
917, what do you got?
Hello? Okay, 646-478-5554. Area code 347. You are on the air, the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio, Rice Balls and D.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Hey, my name is Frank.
What's up, Frank?
Calling from Syracuse.
Syracuse, huh? How about that?
Yeah.
You're a Syracuse basketball fan?
Oh, of course. But, I was born and raised in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we moved later on. But anyway, I want to talk about Mike D'Antoni.
Okay.
I really like, you know, his credentials and everything with his offense. But watching the Knicks all year, I really never saw any defense. And what I want to know is he willing to adjust his style of play for the Eastern Conference? Because a lot of people say the Eastern Conference is soft, but the Eastern Conference is the lower conference. It's like the NL, the National League in basketball. But it's more tougher. It's more slower and physically tougher in the Eastern Conference, especially in the Atlantic Division. And I believe that he needs to probably adjust his style of play for that conference. Do you think he's willing to do that?
I'll go first in time. You can have the helm right after me. Yeah, of course. I mean, whatever Mike D'Antoni has to do to win basketball games, whether that's obviously he wants to play fast, he wants to play up-tempo, he wants to play 7 seconds or less. But I think that whatever Mike D'Antoni has to do to win and the personnel that he has, he will make those adjustments. He did that this year, even though the Knicks only went 32-50. He knew what he had and how he had to play and how he could play. And the Knicks did that. Now, granted, did that win a lot of games? No, but I think Mike D'Antoni is a good enough basketball coach where he can adapt to what he has, even though the style that he wants to play is up and down. But if he had to play a little slower, a little bit better defense, I think Mike D'Antoni can, no question about that.
All right. Thank you.
And I agree, actually, Bryce, because, you know, for me, I'm a big fan of the fact that they both, you know, are together. Obviously, D'Antoni is a new school guy. I've said this 1,000 times, you know, and Donnie's an old school guy. Donnie understands the East Coast and Eastern Conference, at least. And, you know, there's, you know, the great thing about that is that he's gotten to a championship level. We had BT on the other night saying, what are the championships? But, you know, the guy really did play at a very high level in Indiana, or at least create a team that had them playing at a high level for a long time. And, you know, because they play at a higher pace definitely means more possession, so there's going to be more points scored. So, you know, I don't want fans to think that, you know, that means that they're not playing defense. I think there were some times this year, Tony, where they did play, you know, solid defense. And
oh, definitely, Tom. And there was times when you saw the Knicks missed the defensive assignment. And, Frank, we thank you for the phone call on KnicksBlog.com. Knicks Blog Radio definitely calls back another time. Where, let's say, a player missed an assignment, Mike D'Antoni got up in that player's face. And obviously, Mike D'Antoni wouldn't get in that player's face if he did not coach defense. And we know, we asked Wilson Chandler here on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio, does Mike D'Antoni coach defense? And, you know, of course he coached defense. You don't win 50-plus games 4 years in a row with the Phoenix Suns and not coach a lick of defense. He obviously coaches defense. Offense is his strong suit, but he definitely coaches defense, and I think he will continue to coach defense, and obviously he's definitely an offensive coach. And, yeah, I think whatever Mike D'Antoni has, he will adapt to. But like we talked about, everybody knows he wants to run. He wants to push the basketball. But if there's a game in the playoffs where he has to play slower or not as fast or, you know, play more half court, play harder D, Mike D'Antoni can definitely adapt to that. 646-478-5554. Area code 201. You're on the air with Rice Balls and D, the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
I had a quick question.
What's your name?
Patrick.
Don't be shy. What's up, Patrick? Welcome to the show.
Stephen Curry seems to be like tailor-made for Mike D'Antoni's offense. What do you think about him, and what's the, you know, like, chance we're going to pick him?
Tom, I let you take that one first.
I think he's definitely tailor-made, and I think, you know, in the best-case scenario, I think Rubio is one. 1A would be Curry with maybe bringing in a guy like Steve Nash, or, you know, obviously Chris Duhon is already here. I really like Curry a lot. I like, you know, the idea of a guy like Gallinari and Chandler. Once the ball's kind of moved around, surrounding the perimeter, once they, you know, if they bring in some sort of post player, Curry's a great shooter. He's impressed the heck out of everybody. Will he be there at 8? I'm not sure. Do they move up to try to get Curry and target Curry specifically? I'm not sure about that either. So obviously Curry's been campaigning, and there's been leaks about D'Antoni saying that, oh yeah, he had an unbelievable workout, the whole Allen Houston, you know, the whole, that whole thing. I think he's definitely tailored. Do they have him targeted to move up? That will remain to be seen. I'm not sure about that, but again, if you have Curry in your lineup starting in October, you're off to a pretty good start.
And we thank you for the phone call, and I agree with Tommy. I think Stephen Curry is definitely tailor-made for the system, but I think any guard that can shoot the basketball a little bit and is athletic and very athletic is tailor-made for a Mike D'Antoni system. A lot of talk coming out today that a few days ago that Curry was going to shut it down until the draft, but now he's going to work out with the Wizards, he's going to work out with the Kings, and if he gets drafted higher, which means more dollars, and money does talk. So if Curry maybe can make a little bit more money with another team, maybe he's been impressing in workouts, he might end up with one of those ball clubs. And like you just said, Tommy, the Knicks might be in a position that they want this guy so much, they trade up to the number 4 pick, the number 5 pick, to get a guy like Stephen Curry. And obviously, you know, they would love to have a guy like Stephen Curry. 646-478-5554, area code 917. You're on the air at Rice Balls and D, KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio.
Yes, hello.
What's going on?
Oh, how you doing? I'm good.
Good. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Tamika.
Tamika?
Yes.
What's going on?
Oh, not that much.
What's on your mind?
I see you guys are talking about the Knicks. I think it would be great if the Knicks pick up Stephen Curry. because that way he can back up Chris Duhon, because I don't think that Johnny Ross would keep both David Lee and Nate Robinson, because they would probably demand a lot of money.
Oh, no question, Tamika, and I think I'll take this one first time. You can have it after me. I think the Knicks would probably love to keep David Lee and Nate Robinson. It's just not going to happen financially and basketball-wise, and I think that David Lee will probably end up being here. And, yeah, it seems to be, Tommy, no doubt that with the fans, there's no doubt Stephen Curry is the most popular player that the fans want, and I think he would help the Knicks a lot, and I think that's just that's the guy the Knicks fans want. That's the guy that the Knicks want. But you never know on draft night. It might be somebody else, and we might be completely surprised. You just never know on draft night.
And as we talked about, you know, Stephen Curry, I'm sorry not to cut you off, Stephen Curry's marketing ability has really gotten a lot of fans riled up, and now a lot of people think that he's actually a better prospect than Rubio. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case, but what's funny is that he loves to play in the Garden, and you know, when you look at his performance against West Virginia, he didn't shoot that well at all, and it was not, to me, it wasn't a really spectacular performance, but you know he wants to be on the biggest stage. Obviously, his father played a ton of playoff games with the against the Knicks with the Hornets, so, yeah.
And the Raptors as well towards the end of his career.
Absolutely right.
Two good series there in 2000 and 2001.
There's some total synergy there, so we'll just have to see what happens in a week or so.
And we thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554, the Knicks Blog Radio, KnicksBlog.com. Rice Balls and D going to take you up until 10 o'clock tonight here on this Tuesday night, and the Lakers will have their parade in Los Angeles. And I feel like every sport, Tommy and we're both Knicks fans, and, you know, I'm going to be a fan. You know, you're not supposed to be a fan when you're on the air, and I am. And but BT, he's a fan on the air. Some are, some aren't. I think it's one of those unwritten rules. When I saw the Pittsburgh Penguins win the Stanley Cup on Friday night, and I see the Lakers win the championship on Sunday night, I just think to myself, man, how big would a Knicks championship be in this city? I feel a Knicks championship would be bigger than any Yankees World Series. It'd be bigger than the Giants last year. I think it would be bigger than the Rangers in 94. If you disagree with me, feel free to call 646-478-5554. But, Tommy, I think a Knicks championship would be double all the other championships we've ever seen in this town.
Well,
or am I wrong? If I'm wrong, you know, fire back at me.
No, we've agreed a lot on the show, which, you know, kind of shows where our wavelengths are at, and we'll definitely go at it back and forth. But, you know, when you think of 94, you think of the Knicks and you think of the Rangers, and they engulfed the city. Obviously, the 54 years was a big thing. Mark Messier's guarantees and Ewing and Oakley and Derek Harper's performance, the O.J. chase. There was a lot going on in 94, but you know what else was going on in 94 was great baseball before the strike. And that
no question. The Yankees were second-best record in Major League Baseball, actually, behind the Montreal Expos.
So you're not going to get a real barometer based on the fact that the Yankees, you know, they were playing great, and then all of a sudden there was a lot of talk about this, that, and the other regarding baseball. And baseball wasn't at a high at that point. And then when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, the NHL was at an all-time high. And obviously the NBA was something that was really said. There was no Jordan, but there still was a lot of hype. To me, I think there's really it could interrupt the baseball season for a long time if the Knicks were to win a championship. I think it would absolutely captivate the city. It would light the Garden up. Everybody would be talking about Madison Square Garden, the greatest show on earth, the world's most famous arena, the Mecca, if you will. I think as much as people think that this is a baseball town, basketball is also a big factor here, you know, when you talk about St. John's.
No question, Tommy. And if you go back to the 90s, I don't know if you remember this, and I'm sure you do, when New York Knicks tickets would go on sale, you would call, for example, Ticketmaster, and you would ask, you know, to get tickets to a couple of games, and they would actually tell you what games they'd have available. It'd be like three games in the last row behind the backboard in section 414. I mean, you could not get into the Garden back then.
And that was, you know, definitely the Riley factor and the fact that they were very close to being, you know. When Riley first came in, and I remember this because he was working at NBC with Bob Costas, and when Cechas brought him in, it was instant credibility. It was instant, this is the guy who's going to take the Knicks to the next level. This is the guy who's going to beat Jordan. You know, this is the guy, the guy's got rings, and this, you know, instantaneously they had credibility. D'Antoni doesn't have that because he doesn't have the rings, but he does have credibility in today's NBA based on the fact
All the players around the league love Mike D'Antoni. The guys who play for him in the Olympics, just guys around the league love that guy.
There's no question that what he was able to do, obviously, you know, when you would talk about Coach K getting some of the, or a lot of the, you know, pats on the back for his performance, Mike D'Antoni gets him as much as anybody. And that team was certainly great, but there was definite doubts. Think back to last summer, dude. There was no guarantee that the United States was going to win the gold, and that D'Antoni had a huge part in that. So
D'Antoni, you know, put in most of that whole offense, Tommy, and obviously with guys like Kobe Bryant, Darren Williams, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, you're not going to have too hard of a time in winning basketball games. But Mike D'Antoni was a big help in that Olympic basketball team. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. I see a call on the line. They're all numbers except this one, ESPN Nut. You're on the air with the Bryce Balls and D.
My name is Adam.
Okay, Adam, what's going on? Just out of curiosity, why does your phone number say ESPN Nut? And turn the radio down. Turn the radio off, buddy.
No, I'm not sure. This is my first time on, actually.
Are you calling from a phone?
No, from a computer.
Oh, okay. Well, turn the computer off because I can't hear you.
I mean, right, this is as loud as it goes. Can you get?
You're going to have to call back from a phone line because of the echo, all right, Adam? No disrespect. 646-478-5554, area code 347. You're on the air, Rice Balls and D, Knicks Blog Radio, KnicksBlog.com.
Hello?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, all right. Yo, I'm calling. I got a question, though. What do you guys think
about? What's your name?
I'm Jason.
What's up, Jason? Where are you from?
From the Bronx.
All right, we're in the Bronx.
Parkchester, you know where that is?
Yeah, yeah. I take the train through there every day. I live over in Co-op City.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to live in Co-op City.
I play basketball at Waterbury Park all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, that is what's up.
Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings. What do you think about Brandon Jennings as the point guard for the New York Knicks? Come on,
I mean, to be honest, I know he's a very cocky kid. I haven't seen him play much. You know, he was in high school last year. I mean, 2 years ago, was overseas this year. Tommy was around him the other day. Apparently, he's a real cocky, arrogant kid, but he is 19. What they say, he's quick as anything. Could definitely fit in Mike D'Antoni's system. But I can't say I've seen him play that much. But apparently, he didn't have a great year over in Europe last year. But, you know, we'll see what happens. He's a great kid coming out of high school. And, you know, I mean, Tommy, have you seen him play that much?
I saw him playing Gaucho Gym a couple of years ago, and I was actually just down in the Loop down in Parkchester, so no question about it. I'm familiar with the area, so thank you for calling for that. We saw him at Gaucho Gym a couple of years ago, and you're talking about a guy who was absolutely talent-wise, head and shoulders against everybody, and you knew if he could get into college, he would have had a really impactful freshman year. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but he did make the most of it by going to Europe. I just think, and there's no question that this kid has the talent to be a really, really good, solid point guard. He's pass first. You know, anytime the comparisons are Kenny Anderson, for me, that's my ace growing up. Kenny Anderson is my boy growing up. Got a chance to watch him when I was a young buck as he came around to all the CHSAA schools. But Jennings, with what you know about D'Antoni and Nate Robinson, you can't see them bringing in Jennings because of the distractions off the court. There's no reason to attack Ricky Rubio. There's no reason to then recant it a couple days later and say, oh, I overreact. You didn't overreact. You went 10 minutes on an interview in a professional press conference. You're trying to make money here. You're trying to get drafted. You can't sit in front of the media, whether it's in Sacramento, whether it's in New York, whether it's in D.C., anywhere else, it doesn't matter. You can't sit and disrespect a player. And that reason alone is why I don't think he's a fit for D'Antoni, because they're in the midst of getting rid, and at least in my opinion, and everybody's kind of talking about it now. I talked about this in January with Nate, but it just seems like I don't think D'Antoni is going to allow to have this after Nate is leaving. And I think Jennings could be that sort of loose cannon. I can't see it.
Tommy, you there? Hello? Tommy?
Yo.
What's going on? We had a little connection problem. We're back. KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio, 646-478-5554. Sorry about that. And we'll go back to the phones. Area code 914. You're on the air. Hello, area code 914. You're on the air. Area code 347. You're on the air at NicksBlog.com, NicksBlog Radio, Rice Balls and D.
Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guy? Listen, earlier, you made a little comment. My wife overheard. So it wasn't you, Tony D, okay? It was Anthony.
Tony Rice and Tommy D.
Oh, Tommy, okay. Okay, you got me there. You got me there, sucker, okay? Hey, listen up, listen. You made a comment earlier about having Spanish people come out here to New York City. I don't know, some guy, what's his name? Some guy coming to New York City. What are you guys talking about over here?
Ricky Rubio,
there you go. I mean, what's this about? You want... Well, what, Spanish people can't like the Jewish guys? I don't get you.
Yeah, see, this is a bit. Gotta get funnier. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's go.
What? Excuse?
Is this a bit? Come on, man. If you're gonna come on, be funny. Let's go. Is this a bit? What do you got? Let's go.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with race. And, you know, it would be like if Yao Ming came to New York City. There's a lot of Asian people here. You know, or an Italian going on. One thing about New York City is there's people from all over the world in New York City. So when you get a guy here from another country, like Ricky Rubio, with all the, a lot of Spanish people in the city, it would bring the Spanish crowd maybe down to the Garden. It would be a great thing. I mean, I wasn't trying to come at anybody with a racist way or any way like that. What, Tommy knows that. I hope you know that, sir.
That's my donut. Put the donut down.
Yeah, we're all for comedy, bro. We love comedy.
I'm sorry.
You just got to be funny, man. Like, that's...
Listen.
I'm with you.
Okay. Yes.
Do you have any other points to make?
No. Just my wife made she overheard the comment. She told me about it. I didn't really. I mean, she's not really my wife, but it doesn't matter. Okay, but the whole thing is something was said. I just wanted to clear it up. I'm glad you cleared it up for me. It makes me feel good. Okay, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
646-478-5554. Tommy getting called a little riled up here tonight at NicksBlog.com, NicksBlog Radio, huh?
And listen, if you're going to bring a bid on, we like that. We like entertainment. This is basketball. This is.
But it's never personal. Let's get that straight right now. It's never personal.
Of course not. If you're going to have a bit, let it be funny, man. Just make us laugh. That's what we're talking about. That's good.
Oh, no question. Let's go to area code 914. You're on NicksBlog.com, NicksBlog Radio with Rice Balls and D.
What's up? It's Ryan again from the Syracuse fan, Johnny Flynn fan over here.
Nice.
What's up, Ryan?
What's going on? Any updates on what's going to be going on with Johnny Flynn? Are we looking at him? I saw Gottlieb had him number 4 in his mock draft.
I mean, I'm sure the Knicks are definitely looked at him. The Knicks are looking at about 30 players right now.
I know we looked at him, but I feel like we're all about Drew Holiday and Stephen Curry, but say Stephen Curry's out of the picture, if it's Drew Holiday, Johnny Flynn, what do you think the Knicks take?
I mean, I know Tommy likes Drew Holiday. I like Johnny Flynn. I think the kid's tough as nails. He has a lot of heart. He has a lot of skill. He's a New York kid. He loved the Knicks growing up. Actually grew up in the Niagara area. I'd have no problem the Knicks getting Johnny Flynn. I think Johnny Flynn's a very, very good basketball player, and Johnny Flynn in New York would be a great thing. I think, we're not really sure what's going to happen on draft night right now, just a lot of talk. And Tommy, I know I'm watching Johnny Flynn, especially in that Big East tournament game with
six overtimes
against Connecticut. I wouldn't mind having Johnny Flynn as the Knicks point guard for the future. I know I wouldn't have a problem with that, Tommy.
The thing you like about Flynn, at least when I talked to him, right after the workout, there's guys who talk about being pass first. And when I asked him what it took to be pass first, he talked about where he came from and how if he didn't pass and learn to make plays for everybody, then, he wouldn't have played. So he had to, because he had older guys at the park and, they really gave him a hard time about pass the ball. And then he learned to become a scorer. So he really is a complete guard. He's a marketable guy in New York. There's definitely a fit there. I have no problem at all with Johnny Flynn being here because he plays hard. He comes in, he's going to compete.
Defensively,
coming off the pick and roll and shooting jumpers, that's for the Knicks to determine. We didn't get a chance to see that, but I have no problem with Johnny Flynn at all.
Yeah, I like Johnny Flynn as well. I know I have a ton of friends of mine that are huge Syracuse fans, and maybe the Knicks can land Johnny Flynn. I can get them some games down at the Garden. 646 478-5554. Rice Balls indeed on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. We're going to take you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Chris Duhon was supposed to join us. I'm thinking something came up. Hopefully we can get Chris on. If not, we'll definitely get Chris another time. And area code 917, you're on the air. Rice Balls indeed, KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. Take it away. Let's go to area code 914. You're on the air, Rice Balls and D. Take it away.
Yeah, they just got me disconnected. I was talking about Johnny Flynn. And
oh,
got disconnected.
No. I mean, we have to get other callers on. No disrespect. Area code 347. You're on the air, Rice Balls and D.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, what's up, man? It's me, Jason, again from the Bronx.
What's going on? Hey, guys, no disrespect, but if I let you go, I wasn't cutting you off. We got to get to other callers. So, Jason, please call back on the next show. 646-478-5554, Rice Balls and D, area code 847, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Adam Singer.
What's up, Adam?
Yeah, I have a question about LeBron. Like, I heard he's going to the New York Knicks.
Really?
And
is
I was
going around like that?
Well, I was wondering, wait, are you kidding?
Adam, come on. You're better than that. I don't even know you.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's your thoughts about if anybody else was going to go with LeBron, you know, maybe like Chris Bosh, because they have so much salary cap room. What do you think?
I mean, if the Knicks can really get their hands on LeBron, there's between 2 and 20 guys that are available that summer that could, I think there's, if you're a good basketball player and you're a talented basketball player, you can play next to LeBron James. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but if you look at the class of 2010 for free agents, I mean, it goes from Joe Johnson to Dwayne Wade to Chris Bosh to Amar'e Stoudemire to Tracy McGrady to Dirk Nowitzki to Yao Ming. Did I say Joe Johnson? Paul Pierce is available that summer. Like I said, Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be a number. Quentin Richardson's available that summer. No disrespect to Q, I'm just kidding around. But there's a lot of guys that are going to be available, and any of those guys can play or could play with LeBron James.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Well, as far as, you know, I was waiting for my boy to come on and talk a little bit more, but, you know, the thing we talked about a couple weeks ago is that there's no reason why the Knicks can't bring the talent level up, even without signing that second guy, to compare to what the Cavs had this year, and everybody thought you're crazy because, or at least they thought I was crazy because they won 60-something games, but the Knicks in a year and a half will be able to compete or at least bring in comparable talent to what Cleveland had. And once LeBron sees that, then the guys are going to follow him. So what you're seeing right now, specifically what's going on with Shaq, and I need this guy to stay for 3 years, and you know, maybe then I'll get a demand to trade to go to Cleveland or whatever. And you know that LeBron has to find a home, and then people will come to him. So you know, who the Knicks can bring in, obviously they have to move Eddie Curry. They've got to at least make a little bit more room salary cap-wise. But LeBron landing in a home is going to attract players, and they may even take less money. That wouldn't shock me at all.
646-478-5554. And you can make a case that if, you know, the Knicks have guys on their team right now that could be just as good or if not better than what Cleveland has without LeBron James. Guys like David Lee, if he's going to be here, Wilson Chandler, Nate Robinson, if he's going to be here, Chris Duhon, if he's going to be here, that, you know, are almost just as good as the Cavs are. And now you put a LeBron James or Dwayne Wade with those guys, and you're going to have a really solid team. Next call, you're on the air. Hello?
Oh.
Hey, what's going on?
Have you given away the trivia tickets yet?
There we go. That's what we want. We want people listening, paying attention. Let's go.
Yeah, I figure this is a blocked number. That's why I just said next caller for this one.
We're ready to go. We're ready to give away some tickets.
What's your name?
Tom.
Are you 21 or over?
22.
You're 22. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Yonkers, New York.
You want to go to the 40-40 draft night?
Yep.
Can you answer a trivia question?
Oh, what's the trivia question?
I'm going to tell you right now. Tonight's trivia question to win for you and a guest to the draft night after party at the 40-40 Club in New York City. Tonight's trivia question is, the Knicks only had one pick in the 2004 NBA draft. It was not a first-round pick. It was a second-round pick because they traded their first-round pick to Phoenix for Stephon Marbury. Who did the Knicks select with that second-round pick?
So who did they pick in the 2004 draft with the second pick?
second round pick.
The second round pick.
Yeah. You get that? Tommy, that's not too bad of a question, right?
Not at all.
No, it's not that bad.
Okay, so if you get that answer, you're going to the 40-40 Club, yourself and a guest on draft night for the after party with myself, Tommy D, Blake Griffin, Stephen Curry, Johnny Flynn, and others to be named later.
Am I on a time limit?
You got 20 seconds. How about that?
20 seconds, all right.
No, you got 10 seconds because I can't have you look that up. You got 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
If you
Trevor Ariza.
It's a good job. I feel like you looked it up, but I'm still going to give you credit because you came on the air and you won. We can't not give you the prize.
No,
you got
I,
it within 20 seconds.
I swear on baby
congratulations, Tom, from Yonkers. It's my birthplace, my hometown originally, so I appreciate you.
I swear to God, I'm babysitting my sister's kids. I'm trying to listen in and think at the same time.
Okay, no doubt. And Tommy, give him the email address, and you can email Tommy your information. Tommy, get a hold back of you, and you'll have passes to the after party on draft night at the 40-40 Club.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Tom, listen, man, I look forward to hanging out with a fellow Yonkers brethren. I was born there. I'm not going to front. I grew up in White Plains, but my dad is Yonkers to the – my parents are Yonkers to the bone. Email me at theknicksblog@gmail.com. We'll get you and a guest in at the 40-40 Club on draft night. Look forward to hanging out with you, bro.
Thanks a lot, man. I'll see you there.
Thanks, right, Tom. Thanks for the phone call. And, you know, I did hear a kid loud in the background. There's a chance he maybe really didn't Google that. You know, he might have really knew that, so, you know, it wasn't too hard of a question. I know earlier in the trivia games, me and Tommy threw some, I think, ridiculously hard questions at fans. We threw some easy ones at fans that a few fans didn't get. And, you know, do we have any more passes? Were those the last ones, Tommy?
No, we got another set, unless we want to wait for another day and time. And then
we have another set. We'll do that on the next show. We'll probably do a show before the week's over again, and just, you know,
do it
keep
Sunday
checking.
Night. We'll do it Sunday night.
Sunday night. Keep checking the KnicksBlog.com for more information. We'll do it Sunday night. We'll give you another set of passes to the after party at the 40-40 Club after the NBA draft. Should be an extremely fun night. Tom, we still have a lot of calls on the line. Let's get back to them. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to Long Island. Area code 516. You're on the air. Rice Balls Indeed. KnicksBlog.com. Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, this is Mike.
What's up, Mike?
excuse me. If Stephen Curry's gone at 8, and we take Jordan Hill and pick up a Ty Lawson or Eric Maynor in like a later first round and buy a pick, wouldn't that make more sense than just drafting one guy?
I mean, it could. One thing about the draft, you never know. I mean, there's times when you looked at 1996. A lot of people after that draft, the Knicks got John Wallace, Dante Jones, and Walter McCarty. They said getting three. The Knicks had the best, you know, with the exception maybe the Sixers getting Iverson and a couple other picks. People said the Knicks had the best draft of any teams in that draft because they got three players that even played in the Final Four that year that was actually in East Rutherford. And it turns out those three guys did nothing in the pros. So it could, getting two or three guys in the draft in the first round could be great. Or, you know what, it could backfire. You never know.
It's a tremendous point, and it's, you know, I think Lawson's going to be a good player. Do I think he's going to be there later? Do they even have, you know, you think they're going to acquire one. You hope they do. But you never know what that player is going to be. I think Lawson's going to be a good player. But I don't know you can necessarily say, hey, let's take a later first-round pick and bring in Ty Lawson. It doesn't work that way. Maynor, I think, is going to be gone by then. But at the end of the day, Anthony makes a great point about, hey, we brought in John Wallace, who let the world on fire.
Dante Jones, who was playing in the Final Four in Mississippi
State.
Dante Jones was in the Final Four.
He was pretty strong, too. And McCarty was a glue guy who ended up playing a long time in the NBA.
Yeah, he did. Think about that Kentucky team that won the chip in 96 in the NCAA. They had, I think, 8 pros on that team.
They were strong, bro.
Up to Mark Pope. I mean, Mark Pope was a Knick, actually, for a cup of coffee, actually.
Yeah.
And that Kentucky team was totally stacked. And we thank you for the phone call at 646-478-5554.
Hello?
Hello, who's there?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to have a quick follow-up question.
Oh, sure, hit us up. That's why we're here.
If we pick up Jordan Hill, right, does that give us permission to let go of Lee and save some money?
Does it give us permission? I mean,
well,
they can,
I mean, not
I mean,
permission,
they can sign me and the Knicks have permission to give up David Lee.
Not
I mean,
permission,
that,
but just
allow I know what you're saying. I'm just messing with you. I think getting a guy like Jordan Hill makes it a little bit easier to give up David Lee because Jordan Hill can do a lot of things David Lee can do.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554. We got about 20 minutes left here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Tons of calls on the line right now. Let's go to area code in New Jersey, 201. You're on the air, Rice Balls Indeed, Knicks Blog Radio, knicksblog.com.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
What's happening?
You giving any more 40-40 tickets away?
Oh!
You want to see what we can do with this guy?
We do have a set of two left, so if we want to do it now, we're going to do it Sunday. All right, you want it, man? Let's do it now. I appreciate you being on the line. We've gone a couple, you know, of days here without giving them away. Let's give this kid a shot, see if he can answer.
Are you, first, what's your name?
Chris.
Are you 21 or over?
Yeah.
All right, Tom, you want to hit him with the trivia question?
Can he prove it?
Yeah, can you prove that you're 21 or over?
How?
We're just gonna have to take your word for it. Don't screw us to the door.
Well, listen, you're gonna get to the door if you got him. You ain't getting in anyway, so you might as well. You can turn back now if you want. Do you feel like turning back or no?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, you gonna be able to get in? All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for the trivia question. Do I have to think one off the top of the dome?
You got 5 seconds.
All right. Jeez, this is tough.
Don't make it too hard. Make it decent, you know.
Give me your how old are you, first of all?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Tommy. I don't mean to cut you off. Asking how old they are, and you could take into consideration how far you want them to go back for a question, make it a little bit easier.
The time period. Oh, I'll give you one. You go back to within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to Google this. This is just coming off the top of the head, so I hope I'm accurate, and I will as I ask it. But the Knicks traded Eric Strickland, who was a reserve guard who was actually really strong and played.
I know who they traded him for.
That's my question. Who did they trade Eric Strickland for?
That's a good question.
What year was this?
That was February 2001.
2001, right? Good.
Who they traded for him, I remember his first game was a Knick, actually, and who it was against. Talk about that being psycho.
Okay.
I actually remember that because I had a hurt ankle.
Don't Google
wait,
it. Who the Knicks traded Eric Strickland for?
You want to know the year?
No, who was the player?
5 seconds. Who'd they trade Eric Strickland for?
I got no idea, man. No idea.
4, 3, 2, a guess?
No
From
idea,
Georgetown.
Man.
Think
From
Georgetown.
Think Georgetown. I don't know, man.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you're not going to get the tickets, but not even a guess? Come on, man. Not even a guess. All right, whatever. You're not going to get the tickets, but since we have you on the line, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk some draft. Who do you want?
Othello Harrington, by the way. Good question, Tommy.
The big O. Who do you want? That's what I want to hear.
Who do you
want to draft?
For the draft, man, I like Jordan Hill a lot, but I think Jrue Holiday is a bust.
Why do you think
he's got a high risk, high reward? But I don't know.
Why do you think Jrue Holiday is a bust? And I've been hearing a lot of this, and a lot of people have kind of been saying, you know, that I'm way too high on him. But I'm curious as to. I'll use you as an example. What do you think makes Jrue Hill a bust, in your opinion?
Because he didn't prove himself, like, even playing out of position at UCLA, he didn't prove himself to be, like, a solid player. What are we doing, like, 8, 9 points a game?
Yeah, that's all right. Out of position, it's okay. Well, if they have Kevin Love on that... If they have Kevin Love on that team, are they a Final Four team?
I think we must have lost the last caller. No, if you put Kevin Love on that UCLA basketball team, I think there's no doubt they can definitely be a Final Four team. And the guy, if you're getting on Jrue Holiday, you're probably getting that, a guy like that based off potential and what he can do later on in his basketball career. Obviously, Jrue Holiday is extremely young. 646-478-5554 is the number. Rice Balls, indeed, KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go up to Westchester and the 914. You're on the air, Rice Balls, indeed.
Yeah, I'd like to win tickets for the 2020 40-40 Club.
Oh, well,
question
we're, not giving out any more, we're not giving out any more tonight, but we're going to give out some Sunday night. But we appreciate you asking. Do you want to talk some hoops? Knicks, NBA?
Yeah.
Street ball? Want to talk some hoops?
Hoops.
Speaking of street ball, you know what I hate, and Tommy, you know this. So when you play it, and we'll get back to real basketball in a second, and I play at the park all the time. When I know I can ball, I can hoop. I'm sure Tommy, you can too. I'm sure you can too as well on the line. Is you got those kids at the park that, okay, when you play at the park, you should play hard. You should play to win because, you know, when you lose, you don't want to sit out for three or four games. But I hate those kids at the park that, you know, you'll come down, you'll miss a jump shot, and they'll, like, yell at you. And they'll make, like, five bad plays in a row, and they'll be like, yo, son. And I'm not calling any particular person out here. They'll be like, yo, son, my bad, my bad, my bad. Yeah, you ever play with a guy like that? I know you have, Tommy. I hate those guys.
Well, listen, the key is don't pass it to the guy who can't shoot, right? And if they feel the need to shoot, then, you know, you got to get in them and say, are you going to guard your guy? If you want to shoot, get a rebound. You know, for me, it's, you know, you get a guy who would trust you with the ball. I can rebound a little bit, but you get a bigger guy to give you the ball because he feels it's safe in your hands. And all of a sudden, you give it up. The guy who gives it up and the guy who misses the shot, you know, the point guard is the one who takes responsibility for it. So the crazy guy with the headband who always runs around and likes to take shots because he feels really excited about being on the court, I got respect for him, but, you know, if you're going to make shots, make shots. If not, then you ain't getting the rock. That's at the end of the day, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, no question. You're still on the air? So the call was gone. We'll get to another call. Actually, 646-478-5554 is the number. Area code 914. You're on the air. Rice Balls Indeed, NicksBlog.com, NicksBlog Radio. Hello, area code 914. You're on the air. Let's go to area code 917. You're on the air. Rice Balls and D.
Hello?
What's going on?
Yo.
Hey, what's up? It's Miles.
What's up, Miles?
What's up, Tommy?
What's up,
Anthony?
What's up,
hey,
Miles?
I just wanted to call in and ask you guys what you guys thought about Jordan Hill. I think he's dropped in the same way that Brook Lopez dropped last year because of, like, the workouts and the combine. But when you look at his production at Arizona, he put up, like, 18, 12, and two blocks. I think that's exactly what this team needs.
Now, Tony, before you say anything, you're talking about one of the up-and-coming stars in the basketball writing world. This guy, immediately you can recognize the talent that this kid has. And I think that is a tremendous point, Miles. And you know, having read the blog and having contributed countless fantastic articles and pieces, that I love the kid from Arizona, Hill. And I think, to me, it's the beat. You can toss the beat out the window. He's 7'3". Good for him. I think Hill is absolutely that type of talent to drop that far and to be an impact player right away in this league.
Do you think if the Knicks were to scoop up Jordan Hill, that he would play the five for the Knicks, especially if the Knicks don't have David Lee coming back next season? Jordan Hill can slide right in and replace David Lee at the five position for the New York Knicks.
Miles, what do you think? If you're Donnie, if they have Hill there and they have a Flynn or a Jennings, they take Hill and then they move Lee for the best-case scenario, is that what you do?
Yeah, I would do that. And I would also look at maybe bringing in, like, a Ramon Sessions, or if they have if they're confident in getting Nash, you know, maybe they take Hill. I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of Nash, did you guys see Nash on David Letterman the other night?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't mind playing for the Knicks. I mean, I feel like almost every player in the league and every – you know, prospect has said they wouldn't mind playing for the Knicks ever since Donnie Walsh and Mike D'Antoni have been here. Now we just got to get the guys here. We just got to get them here, and it'll be all good.
Yeah.
And Miles, before we let you go, listen, you will be on the list at the 40-40 because you're close to 21, but you're also part of the family, and we're going to have you kind of doing some stuff running around. So you're good. You can't bring any peeps, but you're in. All right, bro?
Good.
Miles, well, thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554. Obviously, Miles is a contributor to the NicksBlog.com. Obviously, check out the NicksBlog.com for up-to-the-update news info on the Knicks and the NBA. Let's get to some more calls. Area code 718, you're on the air. Rice Balls Indeed, NicksBlog.com, the NicksBlog Radio.
Yo.
What's going on?
What's good, Tommy?
Yo, what's up?
Nah, I was just thinking, you know, LeBron this and that, LeBron this and that. Him wearing a New York cap, that makes everybody, you know, think, oh, he's coming to New York. But let's just think about it for a second. Would he actually ditch Cleveland, his hometown, his place where he can actually win a championship, to come to New York? And I know he wants to be the first billionaire, but think about it. You know, every basketball player wants to win championships.
Let me ask you this. What was his favorite basketball team growing up?
I don't know, the Bulls?
Where'd you grow up?
Me?
Yeah.
New York, baby.
What was your favorite team?
As a kid, it was all the Bulls. Jordan.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Jordan, six rings.
So what? Patrick Ewing.
You were a Bulls fan growing up in New York. How old are you?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
23.
23? You were a Bulls fan growing up in New York?
Yeah.
That's just too
man.
Easy. It's not fair. You just never saw losing.
Oh.
Ah, man. I couldn't stand that.
During the Jordan era, man, I'm 25 right now. I knew tons of Bulls fans, and they just had it. They just had it way too good. And now all those fans that were Bulls fans back then couldn't tell you three players in the Bulls right now. Mark my words.
Yeah, who do the Bulls have right now?
The Bulls right now, they got Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, Ben Gordon. They got Tyrus Thomas.
Keep going. Their coach.
Kirk Heinrich. What's his face?
Are you serious?
Of course. No, hold on.
No.
Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra,
the coach of the Heat.
Come on, man. And you want to come on the radio and talk about why LeBron's not coming to the Knicks? You're a Bulls fan and you don't even know who their coach is? All right, bye bye.
Come on, man. Let's talk LeBron.
Eric Spoelstra, bro. He coaches for the Heat, my man. He's down south, bro.
Nah, the phone call. I just can't take that guy anymore. I'm sorry.
Nah, he didn't say nothing. He said Eric Spoelstra.
I hope we don't lose a listener. I hate to lose any listeners, but. That's what a Bulls fan growing up in the 90s was. They didn't know anything about basketball. They just liked Michael Jordan. How could you not like Michael Jordan? How could you not respect Michael Jordan? But those people weren't real fans. They were the people that were living in Chicago. I mean, I know tons of people that like another team from another city, but those Bulls fans growing up was like the Cowboys fans of the 90s, too. It's just not fair.
My point was that if everybody wants to say that he wants to stay home and he loves Cleveland, and it's fair. It's a fair point. Hey, BT brought it up. Brandon Tierney brought it on the other night. LeBron was not a Cavs fan. So somebody needs to explain to me where the ties are. To me, he lives there. Great. He's from Akron. Awesome. He went to high school there. Fantastic. He would have went to Ohio State. Even better. But at the end of the day, if they don't bring him talent this year and he doesn't win a championship, it's a wrap. He is going.
You know what would be interesting for a person to kind of, obviously, in the celebrity world and the famous people in sports world, everybody seems to know everybody. Even when you don't know somebody, I feel like they know everybody. You know what would be an interesting person to contact LeBron to talk about coming to New York to win a championship, Tommy?
Who's that?
That'd be Mark Messier.
My guy, man. You know
I
that.
I mean, a guy who. And obviously that Ranger team wasn't all just Mark Messi. I mean, Brian Leach won the Conn Smythe. He won the most valuable player for the playoffs, but everybody remembers that championship team with Mark Messier. He was the missing piece, came here from Edmonton to help the Rangers in the Stanley Cup. Actually, it's funny, his first year as a Ranger, they didn't even make the playoffs. But that's the relevant right now. We can get some more hockey later, I guess, as the summer goes on. If you want to talk some pucks, maybe we'll get Don LaGreca on. But what I'm saying is that every interesting person to contact LeBron would be a Mark Messier, a guy who took the Rangers, who hadn't won the Cup since 1940 in 54 years, put the whole city on his back, and so did you, and he just didn't quite get it done. And think about how loved and how much of a god Mark Messier still is from that one Stanley Cup in 1994. So a good person to talk to LeBron, I actually think, would be Mark Messier.
The funny thing is that LeBron James is 25 years old, and he probably knows who Mark Messier is, because he played in New York. If he played in Edmonton, LeBron James would have never heard of Mark Messier. He would never know who he was.
That's a great point. You know, and obviously Mark Messier was a star, but he became like a mega star playing for the New York Rangers.
No question. No, absolutely great point.
And what do you think about that? You should write a little blog about that. We need to get Mark Messier to talk to LeBron.
I've talked about that a couple times, and you know, for me, it's an easy one because, you know, Messier was a great player. He won championships. He outgrew Edmonton. And as we talked about LeBron winning in Cleveland, outgrowing, and then, you know, moving on in 2010, obviously that didn't happen with him not winning. But at the same time, I don't know how – look at it this way. The fact that he ran off the court and acted out of character, to me, in his mind, if I were to jump into his mind for a second, obviously it's impossible to do, but this is just me speculating. It's because he wanted to win this year so that he could leave in 2010.
Yeah, and if the Cavs were to win it next year, it would be really, really extremely, extremely, very, very hard for him to leave next year after winning the championship on, say, you know, you know, June 16th, June 17th, winning a championship, and then leaving July 5th, July 6th to come to New York. You would have won this year, winning a championship. Maybe don't win it next year, then leave would be a little bit easier, but compared to winning one, going through a parade through the city, and then bouncing 2 weeks later, that would be insane. We got time for one more call. We only got about 5 minutes left on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. We got tons of draft to get into down the road. We got tons of other issues to get into. We're going to be on with you all summer long talking Knicks basketball. We're just warming up because when the regular season starts, what we're going to try to do here at KnicksBlog.com is we're going to try to schedule shows on off days when the Knicks are playing. Now, obviously, we'll probably do shows when they're playing as well, but I think the best-case scenario, because I'm at every game, Tommy's at a lot of games, is to do shows on the days the Knicks don't play. Got a few more calls on the line, so let's get at them real quick. Area code 347, you're on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio with Rice Balls and D.
Hello?
What's going on?
No, Victor Thorne came in today.
Who's this?
It's Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Yeah, Victor Thorne came in today.
Kevin Gray?
Chris Duhon.
What about Chris Duhon?
Chris Duhon.
Did he come in on the radio today?
He was supposed to. Something came up, and I know Chris, you know, kind of well. So hopefully we'll get Chris on sometime down the line. Something probably came up. He's a decent guy. So hopefully we'll get Chris on down the line.
And it's a legitimate question. And Tony, I got you back on this one because if you Google Anthony Rice Balls Donahue, you listen to a 30-minute interview with David Lee. You listen to a 20-minute interview with Wilson Chandler that we did. You listen to four or five really strong interviews with Knicks players. So the fact that Duhon, obviously something must have come up because everybody always comes on and talks to Rice Balls.
Yeah, it happens, and I've been with bigger personalities on the radio and, you know, producing their shows for stations, and sometimes guys don't pick up their phones. It's just it's only happened to me one other time back 4 years ago when I was doing the show on WLIE for it was called the Sports Trinity. And you remember Julius Hodge? He didn't pick up. I booked him. I talked to him. I got his number. I spoke to him, and he didn't pick up his phone. So Chris Duhon right now is in the class with Julius Hodge, actually, as guys who I booked for a show and did not pick up their phones. So Julius Hodge and Chris Duhon, step up. Or, I guess, step off. I'm not sure. I have no problem with Chris. I'm not really sure what Julius Hodge is doing to the St. Raymond's product from the Bronx. But those are the two guys to actually not pick up their phones, and they're scheduled to be on the air with me.
Excuse me.
Happens to the best of us. What am I going to say?
Excuse me.
What's up?
Hello. You think the Rockets will be interested in Eddie Curry? As
the
a backup fight? The Rockets.
Ah,
okay.
Man, Tommy brought this up earlier.
No,
I don't really, we only have 2 minutes left, and we thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554, KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. We're definitely out of time for calls right now. I have a minute and a half left. I'll hit on this real quick, and Tommy, you can hit on it. I don't think there's any team in the NBA that would want Eddie Curry, especially with the fact that so many teams are trying to get in position for 2010, and Eddie Curry's contract expires in 2011. I think there's always a taker. I think there's always a sucker. But I don't think – I don't want to say
no, like,
any team. I don't think any team would really be interested in Eddie Curry. Tommy, if you think otherwise, then please fill me in.
At this point, I would say probably not, unless they were willing to give up the eighth pick in the 2009 draft, which clearly I would say is not happening unless it's the perfect deal, it's the right deal. I would love to think that a team could take on Curry, but at this point, I just can't see that being the case.
No, definitely. And obviously, if the team were to take on Curry before the summer started, how great would that be for Knicks fans? Because then it would be a lot easier to sign David Lee. Maybe it would be even possible to sign David Lee and Nate Robinson. We'll have to get into more of David Lee and Nate Robinson talk before July 1st, when they become official free agents, because, you know, it'd be great to have those two guys back. They grew up in the organization, but the odds are they both won't be back. But yeah, I don't see another team wanting Eddie Curry. Tommy, as always, another great show tonight. And any final thoughts before we wrap this bad boy up?
Absolutely. You know, listen, if you want it, I will allow you. Not that I need to allow you, but go ahead and just say who you've had on, not to be sensitive or defensive, but. You know, Chris Duhon, obviously, we advertised, you know, him being on the show tonight. I can see people saying, oh, well, whatever. Just give the fans an idea of who you've talked to on the air.
Oh, thank you, Tommy. I appreciate it. You know, I've had many guests on my shows over the years, from Nate Robinson to John Starks to Walt Frazier, Alan Houston, Zach Randolph, Ronnie Brewer, Brandon Jacobs, and many more. Phil Simms I've had on over the years. I've had Jim Boeheim on numerous times. So
Kenny Anderson,
as well as many other athletes and players and broadcasters, Mike Breenan. I'm gonna have to wrap this bad boy up, Tommy. It's been a great show. So, you know, I'm sorry if you tuned in to hear Chris Duhon. We'll definitely get Chris on down the line. It's been a great show. We'll be back on Sunday on the Knicks Blog Radio, the KnicksBlog.com. Tommy, it was great.
Absolutely, man. That's what's up.
And we'll catch you guys in a couple days. See you later. KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Don't forget to read Tommy on the KnicksBlog.com. Peace out, y'all.